Well, hallelujah. To him who sits on the throne, give glory and honor and power and glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, I pray that that is the resonating song of your heart today, to give glory and honor and power to the Lord, that you are exalting him and lifting him up. Well, welcome to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How awesome it is to be gathered together in the name of the Lord, to be in the house of God, knowing that God has called us for such a time as this, and that now we are able to come together and gather together in his name. And so we rejoice in that. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you glad? Yes. Hallelujah. I know you guys are glad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, welcome home. And we are so thankful and grateful to all of you guys who are here today. And many of you have been coming over first service and now this service. And there's still many of you who are at home watching on OCGF TV. Hallelujah. I guess I should say this, OCGF TV, right? This way. Well, praise God. And we are grateful and we are thankful that everyone is here. And we know that God is doing a great work, even in the midst of his people. And I believe that this is a season and a time where people need to make their calling and election sure, where you make sure that you have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, a right relationship with God, that you genuinely have a relationship. Everybody say, relationship. Relationship. Amen. It's about a relationship with God. It's not just a knowledge of God. It's not just being aware of certain things, but it's about having a relationship. That means you spend time together. It's the picture of a marriage relationship. That's the parallel that the Word of God makes. And it means it takes time to cultivate. It takes time to develop. It takes effort. You have to put work into it. It doesn't just happen. It's just not just magical, but it's something that you work at. And a relationship means it's going to take you and I having a pointed and purposeful effort at doing what God says will make the relationship work. We all know that any relationship that's one-sided is doomed to fail. Isn't that right? And so you have to be able to have give and take. Well, it's time for us to give because Jesus has already given of himself so that we can take him. Hallelujah. And I pray that you are able to understand how much God gave of himself so that we can have something to take and utilize so that we can be the people that God has called us to be. So this is exciting today, and I love the fact that you're all here, and I'm not just talking into the air, hallelujah, or talking to the tech team in the back, hallelujah, but it's good that you guys are here with me, so I get some feedback. Not you guys in the booth. I don't want any feedback from you guys. We want feedback from those of you who are here worshiping and interacting, and this is great. Hallelujah. Well, our theme this month as we transition is now endless worship, and this is exciting because this section is really over the next couple of months is designed to help us to understand how to apply and practically live out our lives in a biblical manner, to apply the principles of God's word that enable us to establish the presence of God. And who knew we would need that understanding? And as always, you know, our goal is always to help everyone in our congregation to understand how to apply the scripture so that we can have a biblical result in our lives, so that we can see the manifestations of God. Because it's the only way to really survive and thrive, actually, in this world, especially in these days. And so we will be talking about navigating the realm of the spirit as well as the realm of the natural. Those are the two realms that are represented in Scripture, the natural realm and the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is broken up into two aspects. There is the good and the evil. Good and evil. So the spirit realm is important because it governs the natural realm. The spirit realm governs the natural realm. And that's important to understand, because when you see evil in the natural, we often hear people say, "Where is God?" Well, God is where he belongs. He is transcending the realms. But there is an authority and a hierarchy that God honors, because it is a principle that he designed. And that principle and hierarchy is that dominion was given to Adam in the garden over the earth. So the plan of God was originally to have all dominion in the earth in the hands of Adam. But something happened, as we all know, didn't it? And so because of another spiritual law or principle that says whoever's word you believe or you honor, that is who your master becomes. The word that you believe is the word of your ultimate master. And so if you believe the word of someone other than God, then that person or that entity, that spirit that is behind those words, becomes your master. That is a spiritual principle. And that is where we are today. That is the problem that exists in the world and in the realm of the Christian life. Because we have to navigate the realms and be able to represent the kingdom of God. And so this is not an easy thing to keep in mind. And so as we're going through the challenges of life in our natural state or our natural condition, it is so easy to forget about the realm of the spirit. And we go about things, doing things as we are able to understand in our carnal minds. And as we navigate our lives, just dealing with the situations and the circumstances that we face every day, we forget that there is a spiritual realm that is actually the steering wheel behind the natural realm. It is what governs the things that are taking place in our lives. And so the only way to have victory in the natural is to gain control over what is taking place in the spirit realm. And once we understand that, we are now able to operate in the place whereby the control is actually held. And this is what the Word of God gives us. This is what the Bible has been designed to do. The Bible is designed to give us spiritual principles and directions and understanding so that we can operate or navigate the natural realm that we live in. Many people, they call on God when they have problems, when they have issues, and all these things happen in their lives. But really, if they were smart and they understood the principles of God and his word, they would have been praying ahead of time against those things so that they would not have happened. And then things would have changed, and it changes the direction and the perception of things that are happening in our lives, so that things that did, woulda, coulda, shoulda happened, woulda, coulda, shouldn't have happened. I think I got that right. And so in the end, it is the spiritual realm that governs the natural realm. And when you operate in the spirit, you have divine results in the natural, and your flow or your navigating of your natural life is better. It comes out better. It's not going to be perfect, because we're not really good at this. And because Jesus is, and he was, Jesus was able to navigate and accomplish exactly what God intended for him to accomplish. And so you and I must learn how to navigate the realm. We must understand that it begins with endless worship. Endless worship is worship that does not end. How was that? It is consistent. It's not just something we do, but it is who we are. You are a worshiper of God. You are a person who abides in the presence of God. Everywhere you go and everything you do, you ought to be cultivating God's presence. Why? Because in the spirit realm, where God is, there is a particular atmosphere that exists that God works in. An atmosphere determines who has ultimate control. And that is why it's important for us to operate in the presence of God so that we can keep our minds focused on him, on the things of God, so that our decision-making is yielded or pulled back so that we can focus on what God is saying in the spirit versus what's happening in the natural and the voice of darkness. And so when we understand that, we are now challenged with learning the skill of operating in the spirit. And this is why Paul says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Our goal is to think and see and perceive the things of the spirit so that we can have victory in the natural. If you do not, you will default to darkness. And as clear as you think you can think and figure it out, it will still be rooted in darkness because you are not acknowledging God. And it's not until you acknowledge him in all of your ways that he is able to direct your path. To the extent that you acknowledge him, that's the extent to which you are able to be directed by the Holy Spirit of God. This is the advantage that Christians have, and this is why many Christians live a failed Christian life. They live a carnal life with a little Jesus seasoning on it. And if you're living your life that way, and you know you will, because the evidences of your experience will parallel the same experiences that people in the world are having. But when you're operating in the Spirit of God, God buffers you, he guards you, he orders your steps, right? You've heard that passage, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And that's based on the concept that you are operating with an ear toward heaven and an eye toward the Spirit of God so that you can see. And as the Lord speaks and you apply biblical principles in your life, you are navigated around. And when you're in the right spirit, God shields you. Shields you. We've all watched Star Trek, right? If you haven't, shame on you. And we know that when the enemy attacks, maybe you've seen Star Wars or some of these other programs, but they always have shields that come up to guard the ship against impending attack. Well, you have to have your shields up. You have to have your guard up in the spirit, and God will buffer you. And you don't even have to say anything, but in the spirit, you can be pulled over by the police and be in a right spirit, and they will treat you different than if you were in a carnal state. Or if you go into a place, or if you do something, it doesn't matter what it is. You determine the spirit that a person passes through to get to you. That's all on you. And so this, you have to be of a right spirit. And when you're in a right spirit, your experience is totally different than the person who's not in a right spirit. And so if you operate in a spirit of fear and doubt, that spirit is of the realm of darkness. And so darkness comes to you. Darkness comes to you. But when you operate in the light of Christ and of God, then the darkness is filtered, and then you get the best of what it could be, considering what it is. God guides you through it. And this is an important thing to know and understand, because it's the difference between having a life of joy, peace, patience, kindness, and the lovingness and all the goodness of God, and not, and having whatever you get, whatever the world happens to be doing that day, whatever the situation happens to be in that moment, you just get that. But when you're operating in the Spirit and the power of God, when your day has been saturated in prayer and you've been communing with God and you're in a state of endless worship, you are able to see the glory of God. And why is that important? It's important because of this verse right here. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, I would like to use as a theme today, replicate the home world. Replicate the home world. Affirming where you are from. Well, join me as we pray. Lord, we thank you, O God, for your word. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would arise in the midst of us, that you would broaden and expand our understanding so that we would have the wisdom to operate in this world in these challenging times and difficulties that we face. I pray, Lord, that you would arise in the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Spirit of the Lord. O God, be glorified in our lives. Manifest yourself as never before and enable us to represent the kingdom of heaven whereby we are its citizens. And we give you thanks for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, saints of God, we know that evil is in the world. Evil is everywhere. It's a part of this world. It's a part of life. And so God has given us the tools that we need so that we can navigate through life and come through in a glorified manner, in a manner where God is glorified and God is honored. And we know that it can be challenging and it is difficult and it's not an easy thing, and it's certainly nothing to just pass over lightly. Certainly the majority of the first century disciples died martyrs' deaths. So that tells you the sacrifice that is at hand, and that the challenge and the difficulties of living the Christian life does not come cheap, and it's not something that is for people who have not had a genuine born-again experience, because you will never survive it. But it is for those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I would submit to you that not everyone who calls themselves a Christian has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And by their fruit, the Bible says, you will know them. By their fruit, you will know them. And it's not only fruit in the natural, but fruit in the spiritual. And it's the two coming together that brings this dynamic. And so, as we begin today, I would like to begin by helping us to understand what it is that God is doing in the midst of our lives, even today in 2020. And for us to be able to know how to position ourselves and condition ourselves so that we would have the ability to run this race with patience, to overcome and the challenges of life, to navigate around and through the obstacles that we all face in our everyday lives. Everybody faces obstacles. Everybody faces challenges and difficulties. Some are one way and some are another. Some people face challenges, you know, over here, and other people face them over there. It doesn't matter how you face them or where you face them, but everybody faces challenges, especially if you're a child of God. And the devil will use every strategy against you. He will use every form of weakness that you have against you. And whatever it is, in fact, the very thing you fear most will come against you. That's what the Word of God says happens to people. And that is why we must apply biblical principles in our lives so that we can navigate the realm of the spirit and the realm of the natural. And so here in 1 Peter 2:4, I'm using this as our foundation verse to kind of bring forth some understanding so that you and I can be able to have it in our mind that we are the citizens of heaven, not of this world. We are merely pilgrims and travelers, the word of God says, that are passing through. So ultimately, we are in a place of preparation so that the will of God can be worked out in us so that we can live for all eternity according to God's will and ways. But it requires practice, and we must understand these principles first. And it says in verse 4, and coming to him as to a living stone, he says, stones which have been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. This is important to understand. It's important because in coming to Christ, as Peter says, he says that he is a living stone, and it's the word zeo, right? And we've talked about this before, and the word zeo means what? Living. It means life, but not just life. It means perpetuating life, right? It means life enhanced, or life that not only goes on, but it goes on with great depth, the fullness of life. It's life-giving life. And so that's a powerful thing to get a grip on, that God has given us through Christ this kind of life. And this is what Jesus is. Jesus is a perpetuator of life. This is talking about Jesus, coming to him, to Jesus, as to a living stone, one who gives life, one who is a perpetuator of life, one who is able to consistently and ultimately give and bring life to those who don't have life, the fullness of life. Hallelujah. And that's all of the goodness of God in life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You have all of God's provision, all of God's covering. It's all of these things, joy, right? All of these elements and aspects of God. That's what is going to automatically come to you as you are cultivating your relationship with God. I'll tell you, there's nothing more depressing than a life without a renewed mind. There is nothing more depressing than living a life without a renewed mind. And if your mind is set in ways that are like the world, then you will be oppressed through all of the challenges and difficulties, especially when they happen on a global scale. When you see things like what are taking place in the world today, it's overwhelming for people because they do not have a renewed mind. And if you have a carnal mind, you're going to get sucked in. And the devil looks for ways to suck people in. He looks for where their weaknesses are and what they're prone to, and he creates a portal designed just for them to pull them through. And if you're not careful, the darkness will consume you, and you will be robbed of the light of God and of Christ. And you will find yourself not having life-given life, but you will find yourself being void of life. Life will be drained from you. It'll be sucked out of you. And you will begin to lose all of the attributes and the things that you have. And so he goes on and he says that you're a living stone. And the word for stones is lithos. Now, this is an important word because we're familiar with the word for Peter, right? When he said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. He was talking to Peter. And those words are the words for rocks and stones. There are Petros and Petra. And those are the words that are typically used and that you most hear talked about or taught about by people in who teach the word of God. But this word, lithos, is a much more potent word. And it's powerful because it's not just the word for stones. It means it's been handcrafted. It's been carved out.
It's the picture of an artist or a builder who needs a specific form so that it can fit in a specific place to do a specific job, a specific thing. And this is saying that Jesus was a living stone, a life-giving stone that was designed by God in order to accomplish something in the natural realm, the realm of humanity, that God created Jesus for this very purpose and plan. Hallelujah. And so he says, that which was rejected, and we know that Jesus is rejected by men in general. And that was true when he was here in person, and it's still true today. Even Christians reject Jesus. In theory, they do. They believe in him as a historical person and in the sense that he is who he says he is, but not in the sense that they need to do the things that the Word of God says we ought to do. And this is why so many Christians live a failed Christian life. How many Christians do you hear about that walk away from the faith, right? Or they turn their back on the Lord? The reason is because they never had a born-again experience from the get-go, and they were living their Christian lives based on intellect, based on their limited understanding. But that is not how God intended us to live. He intended us to live according to the principles and the power of God. And so this is what makes all the difference in the world. And this is why some people can endure and have endurance and other people fall apart. And because it's all based on the relationship that you've cultivated and built with God. And the more you cultivate and build your relationship with God, the stronger you will get, the more revelations you will have, the more you'll have confidence in God. You'll see the principles of God. You'll have more understanding. You'll have more determination. The joy of the Lord will stir in your heart. You will be able to have peace that surpasses all understanding. You will be able to be patient, and you'll be able to deal with all kinds of things. Why? Because you've cultivated your relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit is being stirred up and built up within you. This is what God is doing in the life of the believer. And so he goes on. He says, you also as living stones. Here it is again. Now, who is he referring to? Now, Peter is talking to the believer. He's talking to you and to me. And what is he saying? He's saying that the same Spirit that is in Christ, the same work that was working in Christ, has now been imparted to you and me. Woo! Glory to God. That means we too are living stones, because he uses the same terminology. We too are zeolithos. We are life givers. We are perpetuators of life. It does not matter about all the things that are going on in the world, all the evil that is taking place, because we are not of this world. We are passing through. We have been transformed into the image of Christ. That's what this is showing us. That's what this is saying to us. And because we are operating of a new birth from a new position in the world, we're of a different frequency. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can give life to people who are in darkness. We can give life and encouragement. We can build up, and we can breathe life into people who can't see and perceive, and we can help them. We can guide their hands as they walk through the dark and lead them to the cross of Calvary. We can bring them to the feet of Jesus, where he will give them new eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And you will have opportunity. You will have opportunity. Say opportunity. Opportunity to cultivate your relationship with God. And that's important, because it's up to you whether you do it or not, because you have a free will. And so if you want to live your life the same way the people in the world think and operate, then you will get the same results. You will feel like them. You will have experiences like them. You will see things from their perspective, and you will walk in darkness. Do you have to? Absolutely not. But you will, because you refuse to turn on a light. Hallelujah. You ever know some people just don't want to turn on a light? There's some people, they're trying to save money and won't even turn on a light. Walk in a room in the dark. I know, I've done it myself. I say, I don't need the light. I'm just going to save a little on that. I'm just going to go in. I know where to go. And what happens? You start banging into stuff. You start banging into stuff. No matter how well you think you know, you start bumping into stuff. And that's because everybody needs a little light in their life. You need some light. And so God has given us these principles so that we can have the light of God. We have the potential to become the children of God. That's John 1:12. It doesn't say you will be child of God. It says you have the potential. You have the ability to become a child of God. And this is what God always brings to the table. He gives us opportunity. He brings potential. And it's up to us to cultivate it. This is why so many parents cry and weep night after night over their kids who go wayward or go astray. And it's because that's the factor that the parent has no control over. The parent cannot choose whether or not a child cultivates their relationship with God. All you can do is encourage them to do so. You can beg, you can plead, and you can do everything. You can tell them all the things they need to do, but ultimately it's up to them. And if they don't do it for whatever reason, they will fail in their Christian life, and they will live their lives like people who do not know God at all. And that will be their experience as well. And so it's important for us to understand that we are being built up, as it says here, as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. Why is that important to understand? It's important because if you're not being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, by default, you're going to fall into your fallen nature. That demonic, satanic spirit is going to take up residence in your house. Or it's certainly going to do everything it can to move in. It's going to bring all its goods and put it right outside your door. You ever heard the phrase, sin is crouching at the door? Well, that's opportunity. That's the sin. The opportunity to sin is at the door. But the choice is yours on whether you're going to do what the Word of God would have you to do or whether you're going to do something else. And the only way you will make the right choice is if you're in the right spirit. Because if you're in the wrong spirit, in the wrong frame of mind, you will find yourself making the wrong choice. And you will start thinking incorrectly, and no one will be able to persuade you otherwise. And most of you guys have been around for a while. You've been around long enough, and you know we've talked about the Leviathan spirit, that spirit that seems to come around our church every spring or around this time of year. And it impacts people's minds, causes them to think in ways that are off and that they're not even right. And it's usually religious people, people who really get caught up in a whole lot of stuff, you know, Christian stuff, and they get thrown off track because that spirit is designed to take their weaknesses and drive them in a direction that throws them off to make them think and feel something that is not accurate, right, or true. And as a result, they end up out there somewhere because they feel that it's out there that they're going to find their answer. But really, it was a demonic spirit that was designed just for them to come and take them out of the place where they were benefiting the most, experiencing a God the most, seeing transformation in their life. Remember, Satan is the master deceiver, and he will formulate a plan to destroy you and to keep you in a place of darkness, especially if you're growing in God, especially if you're maturing in your walk, especially if God wants to use you or is using you in some way. That spirit will come against you. It will rise up to come bring you down. And if you're not careful, you know, you'll find yourself thinking in a way that is contrary to what is right. And so he goes on and he says, your house is a holy priesthood, for a spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In other words, we're building a spiritual house. You have to cultivate this relationship, and it causes the life of God to be stirred up in you. It cultivates life. It breathes life. And it causes life to come in you, and you become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in your own strength, but in his strength. And so it says, for this is contained in Scripture. And verse 6, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. And this is not just saying that you just believe. This is saying that if you understand that this is the choice stone, in other words, it was cut out by a craftsman to put in this specific place. It's a keystone for the holding up of the rest of this building. And all these other stones will also be similarly cut out for purpose and placed in the foundation, which is what this building is that is being held up. And so that is who Christ is. And if Christ is the same chief cornerstone, then that means everything that came out of the artistry of the master is also for a divine purpose. That means you and I have been cut out to be a part of the work of God, the work of Christ, this building. And we are this house that God is building up so that the Holy Spirit can come take up residence. The Holy Spirit wants to reign and rule in your life. And that is what God has built you and I up to be, so that we will not be disappointed. Saints of God, if you're applying these principles, you will not be disappointed. It says, this precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. In other words, the very stone that people reject is the one thing they actually need in order to have a successful building project, to have a good foundation, to be able to endure. Remember, he's talking to Christians here, to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to those who are the people of God. And he is saying that we must be sure to apply the word of God, the principles of God, so that we can actually do the things that God would have us to do and be the people that he has called us to be. Because disbelief means you don't believe it enough to do it. When the Bible talks about disbelief, it's not just saying you don't believe in God. It's not saying you're going to hell and you're unsaved. This is saying your life will not be effective. This is saying you will not live a life that is reflective of the life of Christ. Your life will look like the people in the world. This is saying that you will find yourself in a place of hardship, and the one thing that you're missing is the thing that you need. And if you had that one thing, everything else would fall into place. And so it says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. There you go. Do you see that? They stumble because they are disobedient to the word. That's what the spirit of darkness wants each and every Christian to do and to be disobedient to the word. Once you're disobedient to the word, you render everything ineffective. Nothing's going to work. That's like somebody pulled the plug out of your vacuum cleaner and you're trying to vacuum. You may be pushing it along the floor. You may hear the things rolling, but it's not sucking up. Nothing coming up out of the carpet. And that's because there's no power in it. And without the word of God, there's no power in your life. Without the word of God, without applying the word of God, you know, even if you plug it in, if you didn't pay your electric bill, guess what happens? You get the same result as unplugging it, don't you? And there are a lot of people who haven't paid their electric bill unto God. And so their state of worship is not enough so that the power in their life can flow to make them have an effective vacuum cleaning life. Hallelujah. So all they have is a vacuum cleaner that they pushed along the floor. Man, that thing is great. Man, it was the best thing. You paid a good money for that vacuum cleaner. And it looks good, but guess what? You're pushing it along the floor. There's no power in it. And even what you're plugged into doesn't have enough power in that to run your vacuum cleaner. And so you have to make sure that everything in your life is lined up so that you can have the full measure of God, so that you can have the wholeness of God coming into your life. You have the power of God. And that's what the word of God does. It puts us in a place where we have the potential to experience the power of God. And when we apply those principles, God's word and his power begins to flow in your life. And it says, and to this doom, they were also appointed. In other words, people who refuse to apply the word of God or believe the word of God, God says, well, they were appointed for that. And there are some people who are on assignment. They're on demonic assignment in your life and in my life. The whole reason they're involved with us is to hinder us from God. There are people in your life that are that way. That's what they do. That's who they are. And if you're not careful, if you don't have wisdom, you will be sucked into a mindset and a way of living and thinking that is going to drag you into a place where you don't want to be. And you're going to have a different life experience than others who are in the midst of the same atmosphere as you. But because of the spirit in which you operate, you're having a different result. And that is why it's important to cultivate your relationship with God, and so that you can discern the spirit of the people around you. Because everybody is a container for the spirit. The question is it the Holy Spirit or is it the fallen spirit? The spirit of light or the spirit of darkness? And remember, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So he comes appearing to be good and profitable and a blessing, but it's deception and it's designed to lead you away from applying the word of God in your life. So you become disobedient and then you find yourself in a place of suffering and ineffectiveness. And so it goes on in verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen race. You've been chosen. You've been hewn out. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim. So your whole purpose is to do what? Proclaim, right. Your purpose is to proclaim the excellencies of God. That's the picture of before the king comes in, they announce him. Dun, da, da, da. The king is coming, your excellency. The grand one who has created the heavens and the earth. He has done this and that. He has liberated you from all types of bondage and hindrance. He's the great conqueror. He is the one who's redeemed and he has enabled those who are captive to become free. This is the one who is now coming at hand. And you are proclaiming the excellencies of God. It's sharing your testimony. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? Has God done anything during the last 3 months of coronavirus and all these things that are happening in the world? What has God done? Can you even see anything that God has done? Are you even aware that God has done anything? Well, those are the things that you need to be proclaiming. Those are the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, the world is in darkness, but we are in the light of God. We are worshiping God. We are glorifying God. We are celebrating God. We're grateful and we're thankful. Hallelujah. Because we can see what God is doing. But when you can't see what God is doing and all you can see is the darkness, then you're going to be overcome by the darkness. You're going to be overcome by the evil. And there are some Christians who focus on the doom and gloom of the, oh, Jesus is coming. And that's some truth to that. But you have to be very careful that you are not being redirected into something that is going to take away your effectiveness at proclaiming the excellencies of God. You don't want to be focused on things so much that you are robbed of your ability to proclaim the excellencies of God. In verse 5, he says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. Supply moral excellence. And your moral excellence, knowledge. Hallelujah. And he goes on with a few other things after this. But I'm focusing here on this, the point that we, as the people of God, are the ones who, by faith, we supply moral excellence to the world. That is what we do. We bring balance to an unstable world. We speak life into things. We are able to see because God is showing and revealing to those who are in communion with him, in a relationship with him, so that we can bring life to people. This is what our responsibility is, that we supply by faith moral excellence. And so that is to say, if you look at Philippians 4, 8, 9, where it says, whatever is lovely, you remember that? Whatever is just, whatever is of a good report, whatever, if there's anything of any value or excellency, to meditate, right? That's the word, right? Meditate on these things. Focus on these things. Not what's going on in the dark, not what's happening, all the evil around the world, not getting caught up and all that stuff, but meditate on the things, what God is doing, so that your faith can be built up, so that your trust can be in God. And this way, when you begin to pray, your prayer is based and rooted in faith in God, not in depravity because you don't have anywhere else to go. No, prayer should not be just a thing that we do just because we don't see any other way out. The reason we pray is because that's who we are. We pray because we have a relationship with the Creator, with the one who is in all authority over all the earth and all these things. We pray because we know that he is the one who goes before him. God says, just acknowledge me in all your ways, and then I'll direct your path. He says, just acknowledge me in all your ways. Just say, Lord, help. It's literally that simple. God, help me. You go into the store, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me get there. But not just flippantly, but out of a genuine heart. God knows, because look, I spent time with you this morning. We prayed. I prayed. I talked to you about various things. You know the things that are going on in my life, you know, and all and that. So Lord, I'm going to the store, as you know. Can you just go before me, Lord? Lord, can you just guide me? Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me. I'm going to talk to so-and-so, or I'm going to call someone, or somebody calls you. Before you pick up the phone, you see their name, you go, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you say, the blood of Jesus, right? But you say, God, give me wisdom. Lord, give me the words. Let me see what I say. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants us to do, so that because we're of a different realm. We're operating out of a different place. We are in the realm of God, of the Spirit of God. He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's who you are today. That's who we are. He says, for you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's who you are. Receive it today. Receive it today. Receive it. Know who you are, because this will help you navigate this realm, navigate the challenges and the difficulties that you're facing. He says, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. That's not talking about sexual things. That's talking about anything that you feel like you want to do. Well, I was going to pray and read my Bible today, but, you know, I had to do something. There, that was a lust. That feeling that comes. As soon as you make a plan to do something that you know you should do, and all of a sudden something comes up to change that plan, you know that's a demonic strategy. If you say in your mind, you know what, I'm going to get up, I'm going to spend a few minutes with the Lord, you know, and I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Bible, and then I'm going to jump into my day and get going. And all of a sudden, you get up, and all of a sudden, things start happening. You start going. That's because there's a strategy against your plan. That is what we call warfare. That is spiritual warfare. And that is why we must be determined to not allow the realm of darkness to rob us of our time in the light, so that the power of God can be imparted to us, so that we can experience transformation in God, so that we can operate out of the overflow of a right spirit. And so it says that in verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, don't let anybody in the world have a reason to say, see, I thought you were a Christian. You see, oh, yeah, look at you. Oh, yeah, look at you. Well, how come you're like that? Well, how come you're having the same experience as everybody else? Look at you. You're oppressed. Look at you. You're in bondage. Look at you. You're fearful and you're all afraid. Look at you. You're so paralyzed. You don't want to leave your house. Look at you. You're shut down. If you operate in a right spirit, the Spirit of God will bring life to you. He will dispel fear. He will dispel confusion, and he will keep you and guard you from the spirit that oppresses and hinders and brings down. And so keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, among the unbelievers, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, see as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation, that they may see the good works of God in you, that they may see the hand of God at work in your life, and that they will desire and hunger for the things that you have. And so Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Where is it? In heaven. Hallelujah. From which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. Now this body, he's talking about our physical bodies. And that one day we will get a glorified body, the same resurrection type body that Jesus had after he rose from the grave, after he saw Mary and all the disciples. He had a glorified body. You and I will also receive glorified bodies by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. In other words, to the extent that God has the power to do whatever he wants to do, and then causing those things to come together for himself, he is able to do it. That's what our experience is going to be. We are going to be transformed into have a body that represents the kingdom or the place where we are from. And so he says, and Paul says in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Hallelujah. You think we're suffering now? You think staying home and still getting paid is suffering? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You suffering? All the suffering that we've endured. We have to wear masks. And we have to enjoy all this stuff, social injustice. People are crying out. They're tired of unfair treatment and all these things that are happening around the world. God says this form of suffering, he says, this doesn't even compare. It doesn't compare with the glory that is to be revealed. It doesn't compare to the glory that is to be revealed. Oh, we're going to suffer. We're going to go through these things, and we're going to have to endure these things. But we have to be the voice and the representation of moral excellence. We have to focus on the things that are true, that are lovely, of a good report. And we have to be able to stand in the righteousness of God so the world can see and say, I want that. That they will be jealous and will operate in a different spirit, and we will have a different experience. And so he says, for the anxious longing of the creation awaits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Even the creation is longing. It says, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. And so God is acknowledging that even the creation is impacted by the presence that we operate in. When you operate in the presence of God, it affects everything. It affects the plants that grow. We know that because when the plants are spoken to, they flourish, right? They do well. There was the water experiment when they flash froze the water and it was had good music playing around it, then it would create beautiful designs. And when they flash froze it and there was evil or harsh music playing at it, then it would form an evil imprint because there's a spirit behind everything. There's a spirit behind everything. And the person who is operating in the spirit is communicating that. They're transmitting that spirit through whatever they're doing to you. To you. And that is why it's so important for you and I to have a buffer, keep our shields up, so that the Holy Spirit is the filter at whatever comes our way, the Holy Spirit is buffering us. And so creation itself is been set free in this way. And so it says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Hallelujah. And so God is working all of these things out. And there is a day coming when Christ will redeem the earth. It says in verse 23, and not only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruit of the Spirit. You see that? The first fruit of the Spirit is what we have. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Hallelujah. Are you excited to get a glorified body? Can't you look forward to one that doesn't, you don't have to worry about a coronavirus attack with a glorified body. You don't have to worry about of any troubles or issues or problems. You don't have to worry about evil and all those who would do evil, who would work against you or plan or strategize against you or look down upon you for whatever reason and cause you to be staggered in your way of life because you're in a state of glory and there will be none of those things. There will be none of those things. And so it says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. In Daniel 7:13, he says, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every tongue might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Saints of God, the devil is going to have to relinquish control to Jesus one day. Right now, he is the prince and the power of the air. He is the ruler of wickedness and high places, and he has authority that Adam gave him in the garden. But Christ is coming back. Jesus is going to return. And when he returns, he is taking that back from all that the enemy has stolen will be restored. And our bodies will be reconditioned, and we will have eternal life. We will have resurrected bodies. And all those things that were will no longer be because of the liberation power of God. These are the things that are coming, saints of God. And you must hold on to the truths of God and his word. Know that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's time for us to replicate the home world, to allow the same atmosphere, the same principles that are operating in heaven to operate in your life. The choice is yours. The choice is up to you. It is up to us to determine what spirit we will operate under whose influence will we live under. And I pray that that you choose the Spirit of the Lord, and the light of Christ will shine in your life as you affirm where you're from. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing.
Run into unopened spaces, places waiting for you. Spirit of the Lord is there. Is freedom, there is freedom. In the Spirit of the Lord is there. Is freedom, there is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. Let there be freedom.
Well, saints of God, you and I have the power to bring the light of Christ and of God. We are the ones who determine what the atmosphere will be wherever we go. We can change it. We can transform it. We can make it what it needs to be. All we need to do is be filled up with the resources of God, that our relationship with Christ would be rooted, grounded, and established, and that we would operate in a right spirit, that we would find ourselves in a place of liberty. God has called us. God has called us. He has molded us. He has shaped us. He has made us for such a time as this. We, by design, are made to fit into this world, into this culture, this season that we are in the 21st century of the year 2020. God has ordained it to be so, and you are His ambassador, His representative for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, we will stand and we will proclaim the atmospheres of God, and the presence of the Lord will be at work among us. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank you, yes, for your word. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we ask, oh God, that you would mold us and shape us and help us to remember that we are your chosen, those who have been called for such a time as this, the people of God, those who have had faith in you, whose trust is in you, those who have cultivated a relationship with you. Oh God, use us to bring forth life, perpetuating life, abundant life. In Jesus' name we pray. In all these things we ask. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
There is freedom.